Welcome to the Words of Grace podcast, where we seek to clarify, amplify, and apply the Sunday morning sermon at Grace Community Church. From time to time, we'll address other topics. We hope these podcasts help you press the Word of God into your everyday life.
Good afternoon. Today is January the 27th, and we're here with Scott for another Words of Grace podcast.
Good afternoon, Justin. Good afternoon.
How are you doing, sir?
I'm doing well. The sun is shining.
I know. We are very thankful for the sun.
It's great. It's coming right in this window across this table, warming me up.
We probably encourage people to go out there today because apparently it's coming.
I think we should have these built-in sunshine vacations or days off.
It's sunny, you're done.
Yeah, like you're working, and as soon as the sun comes out in January, it's like everybody ought to have the afternoon off.
Yeah.
But... No. The podcast must be done.
Yeah. Well, I want to get to your sermon. Before we get there, you know, I was in the 11 o'clock service, Scott, and we got to a song I just could not wait to sing, Ferris, Lord Jesus. And for some reason, the pastor got up before that song was done. And you probably didn't even know that was happening.
No, I didn't. So, yeah, some people weren't in the 11 o'clock and weren't even at Grace. But, yeah, it's the first time I've ever done that.
Yeah.
So what did I do? People were like, what did you do? Well, so there was a song, the song before the sermon, the song before I get up to preach, it was Fairest Lord Jesus. And, you know, we have three services. I had already been through two, and I sang it twice. But for some reason, in the 11 o'clock service, I was focused on something. I'm not exactly sure, but I just got up to preach and just right before the song, before Ferris Lord Jesus ever started, before the worship team had a chance to start it, I just got up and started praying and was ready to preach. And didn't even know it, like didn't realize it until the whole thing is over and somebody walks up to me after the service and says, so I guess you just wanted to skip a song. And I was like, what are you talking about? And they said, you skipped Ferris Lord Jesus. And I still didn't think I did. So I'm like, no, I sang it. But then I remembered, oh, I sang it in the first two services.
Yeah.
I don't know, Justin. I don't know what got over me. I think I was just, I think, first of all, I don't know. But I think what I did was I think I borrowed a couple of lines from the previous song to put in my sermon. And I think I was thinking about those lines because I wanted to make sure I got them right.
Yeah.
To put in my sermon.
Yeah.
And was so focused on those lines when we were singing them that I just went to preaching right after that.
Yeah.
And just skipped the whole song. I don't know what happened.
Well, it's okay.
What's funny is what people think.
Yeah.
They think, oh, so you just thought.
You just made an executive decision that you needed more time for your sermon. And so you're like,
you didn't want the sermon to run, the service to run long, or you didn't like Ferris Lord Jesus or whatever. It's like, no, I just zoned out.
Yeah. Well, let's go. Let's talk about the Sunday morning sermon.
Let's do it.
So we were in, again, the last sermon in Psalm 119, pulling out these prayers that we see. There's a lot more than just four, but we were pulling out four. So let's look at this section in Psalm 119. Kind of tell me a little bit about just the sermon, the overview. And
This sermon started in verse 65. And so what we've done is we've taken, as you said, four prayers, 4 weeks, but four of the sections of Psalm 119. And in these four sections, there's a main prayer that we've focused on. And the first section we saw was, open my eyes. And the second one was, give me life or revive me. And the third one was, incline my heart to your word. This one started in verse 65, and it was, the main prayer is, teach me.
Yeah.
So in this prayer, David, the psalmist, assuming he's the psalmist here, is praying that God would teach him how to walk in his ways, how to walk in his word, how to walk in his statutes. So what, again, just to wrap up the 4 weeks, we have been saying that when you open your Bible as an individual and we as a congregation can regularly be praying four prayers every time we open our Bible to read or hear a sermon or do a Bible study. And those four prayers are those: God, open our eyes to see what is in this word. God, revive us, or even bring us to life by the power of your word and your spirit. And Lord, incline our hearts to it, like bend us toward it with desire that we actually want to obey the word. And then the fourth prayer is, teach us.
Yeah.
Teach us your ways, your wisdom, your statutes, mm-hmm. the gospel, grace, faith, that we would know how to live and obey God out of love.
Yeah.
Those are four prayers.
Four prayers. So what I want to do today is I want to look at really two parts about this psalm, this section rather, but it has to do with affliction. It has to deal with affliction.
Okay.
So he says, you know, here in verse 67, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
Mm-hmm.
And then you are good and you do good. And then he goes down a little further there, which is in verse 71. It was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes.
Mm-hmm.
So help me here, Scott. So I see what, if it's David doing mm-hmm. here, and he's looking back at these afflictions and seeing how God taught him through these afflictions and strengthened him, and he's come out on the other end saying, hey, it was good, actually, that you afflicted me.
Yeah.
So I could hear people that were sitting in there maybe seeing this in their Bible, hearing you preach about that portion of it, and thinking in their mind, man, I hear what you're saying, but I'm in suffering right now in my current life, and I don't think it's good.
Yeah.
So help us work through our minds and our thoughts, because the reason why I say this, I would think that maybe there could be someone in there going, well, now I feel really guilty because I don't feel like it's good, but he's saying I should look at it as good, but I don't think it's good, and now I feel like a bad Christian, and all of a sudden, now you feel worse than you did before.
Yeah.
So help us think through that a little bit.
Whew.
Well, that's a lot there. But
a lot, and yeah, like the book of Job and
mm-hmm.
volumes on affliction and suffering and how God uses it. So I can't really get to the bottom of that. Nobody can, certainly can't in this podcast, but just immediately the things that come to my mind related to this particular passage mm-hmm. On how does he say it was good for me that I was afflicted, that I might learn your statutes, or, you know, before I was afflicted, you went astray, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. How do we think about that? Well, first of all, I would say don't confuse feeling like something is good with believing that somehow God will turn it to good.
Okay.
So nobody likes affliction.
Right.
I mean, come on, you know, I mean, we're humans.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody likes trouble.
Yeah.
Pain,
mm-hmm.
betrayal, loss, abuse, you know, that's just not humanly what we call fun.
Right.
And we don't have pleasant emotions at it. And we shouldn't expect to.
Mm-hmm.
That's why it's called affliction. That's why
yeah.
it's called suffering. So if there's anybody out there who follows Jesus who has a guilty feeling because they don't consider their sufferings and afflictions as fun and exciting, they need to just get over that.
Yeah, I mean, right, yeah.
That's not what the Lord is expecting of
mm-hmm.
us.
Mm-hmm.
I think we said this last week or maybe 2 weeks ago, that there is a desire under a desire.
Right, yeah.
There is also a conviction under our feelings.
Mm-hmm.
So a person can suffer and be really sad and depressed mm-hmm. and not like 1 minute of it.
Mm-hmm.
And at the same time, have a conviction underneath that God will use this for good.
Yeah.
So that's the first thing I would say.
Good.
It's just separate, you know, make
so don't tie your emotions with
yeah.
necessarily that God is still, it's okay. It can still feel bad,
yeah.
but God's still good.
Yeah. Even yeah. when the Lord says, take joy.
Mm-hmm.
Count it all, or you know, when
consider all joy when you face trials of many kinds.
Yeah,
James
when
1.
James says, yeah. consider all joy, the Lord says, you know, you'll have tribulations, but be of good cheer.
Yeah,
I don't think what they mean by that is have pleasant, happy emotions when your soul is being, you know, wrung out in suffering. That would require us to no longer be a human being.
Yeah,
and we don't need to apologize for being human,
right?
So I think what they're talking about is a conviction underneath
mm-hmm.
the bad feelings
mm-hmm.
that still tell us God will use us for good.
Good.
So make that distinction. The second thing I would say is
mm-hmm.
probably the most important line in this whole section is found in verse 68.
Mm-hmm.
You are good and do good.
Mm-hmm.
Teach me your statutes.
Yeah.
So that is the bedrock foundational conviction mm-hmm. of a Christian is that God is good.
Yeah.
And that he does good.
Mm-hmm.
Then, and you know, we just have to pray and read and think and let God's Spirit do his work in our souls and mm-hmm. meditate upon the cross and how the sufferings of Christ were turned for good for our salvation, and just keep ourselves there so that we can have that bedrock conviction that God is good and does good. Then we can say, so the afflictions that I have in my life will be turned to good mm-hmm. by the sovereign, gracious God who loves me.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have to experience that now in our knowledge or in our mm-hmm. understanding to be able to have that conviction. We may not be able to see how that is good
mm-hmm.
now or for a long time or maybe not until mm-hmm. eternity.
Yeah.
But we can still believe it.
Yeah.
Now, I think that's both realistic, and I think it's faithful.
Yeah.
To what the Bible is actually teaching us.
Yeah. Yeah, I think, you know, again, going back to the whole entire series on Psalm 119, what it's done for me is how I pray as I'm walking through life in his word.
Mm-hmm.
So I think if I was a person who was afflicted or suffering, mm-hmm. I would be saying, teach me.
Yeah.
This mm-hmm. is hard. Teach me. Teach yeah. me how you're working. Teach me your word. Teach mm-hmm. me how you're still good. And mm-hmm. and so I think this has been a great series to help us all, help me specifically too, is just mm-hmm. how we pray mm-hmm. as we are opening the word of God mm-hmm. and as we think through that.
Yeah. Well, yes. A couple other thoughts. One thought I have is that this is why the next life, however you want to call it, life after death, the next life, eternal life, that transition from the life we experience now in the brokenness and mm-hmm. the fallenness of this world to the life that we will experience in the new heaven, the new earth with the Lord. I think this is why it is so important for us to remember that that life is coming, that day is coming, because we might not ever actually see or understand mm-hmm. the good that comes from affliction.
Mm-hmm.
Until then.
Right.
We might.
Yeah.
But we might not.
Yeah.
And we need to keep our hope fixed on then.
Yeah.
So that our hope doesn't get dashed.
Right.
You know, now.
Yeah, which is kind of the you said the most important element here, the principle that we have to hold on to the promise that you are good and you do good. Mm-hmm. So even when we can't see the good in it, we have to go, okay, but I know that you are good. You yeah. said you're good. I'm going to believe your word. I don't know how it's good right now, yeah. but I know that you are good.
Yeah.
Good.
Now, one experience that we do have that's not ours so much as it's Christ, but we mm-hmm. enter it by faith, is that we can see that the good now in this life of the suffering that happened to Christ.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So we do know that Christ died, was buried, and was raised on the third mm-hmm. day according to the scriptures. This is the gospel. And that God took this event of infinite suffering, and beyond mm-hmm. anything we can ever even comprehend, the suffering of Christ, and we do see how that was turned for good.
Mm-hmm.
How, in fact, God predestined this to happen.
Yeah,
for good, for the salvation of people. So,
yeah,
that seeing that experience and entering into that through faith in Jesus,
mm-hmm.
knowing that our sins are forgiven. And that there is now no condemnation for us, and that we've been raised up with Christ, is hope for us that, that God is using our afflictions for good.
Yeah. I think when I hear suffering and affliction and talking about that and how we have to walk through it, I think understanding he's good, but also understanding what you're hinting at here is that he did suffer.
Yeah.
So he kind of understands suffering better than anyone. I mean,
totally.
So I think we're not walking with a God who doesn't understand suffering. We're walking right. with a God who understands and can walk with us in it.
Yeah. Yeah. All the, that is, I mean, that it hinges on that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Is that we are not following someone who is unacquainted
mm-hmm.
with suffering and grief. We're yeah. following the one who suffered yeah. ultimately.
Yeah.
And that is the death on the cross.
Yeah.
One thing I'll say too about this is that in the context of Psalm 119, in the passage we just read, he's talking about teach me. And so really the focus here
mm-hmm.
is how affliction is a teacher.
Yeah.
Now affliction in and of itself is not a teacher. Affliction experienced by faith in God by the promises of God is a teacher.
Yeah.
A teacher that we might be humbled, dependent, focused in obedience to the word of God.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting, isn't
yeah,
it? Because
yeah.
the whole point is about teaching. You know, he keeps saying that, teach me your ways, teach me, you know, teach me good judgment and knowledge. I believe in your commandments. And then, he says it again, teach me your statutes.
Yeah.
In that context, he says, before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word.
Meaning, yeah.
Meaning the affliction in faith
was what
became a teacher.
Yeah.
It was a tool in God's hands
yeah.
to humble, focus, fill, change,
mm-hmm.
to be obedient to his word and know his joy.
Good. Well, thank you again for a great sermon, not only here, but through Psalm 119. I think, again, as you said, starting off the sermon and as we start off the podcast, it's helped reshaped, you know, a lot of ways how we come to the Bible and
yeah.
how we ask the Lord to open our eyes and to teach us. And so thank yeah. you again for a great series in Psalm 119.
All right. Thanks.